This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
And good morning. It is 8:05 in the morning, and you are listening to Positively Revolting, and you are listening to it on KBOO in Portland. This morning, we've got a bunch of stuff to do because May Day is coming up. Our guest this morning is Ajamu Umi. He is one of the organizers of International Workers Day, People Over Profit. No human being is illegal. And join an organization working for justice near you, in your hometown. Isn't that right? I'm also here this morning with the lovely Sarah Sneath, who is we couldn't live without our intern and a new radio personality here
Thank you.
Before we get started too much, I want to talk about a protest that's happening today against drone attacks. And it's sponsored by Head, Heart, and Hands, and Spirit. They're members of Code Pink, PDX, and members of Portland WILPF. Today at noon in Pioneer Courthouse Square, there's a protest to educate and activate against unlawful drone deaths. Meet on the east side of the square, Southwest 6th at Milepost Marker, Midway north-south between the Southwest Morrison and Yamhill Street. They'll all be wearing pink. I think you'll know who they are, and that's really good. This is noon this Friday at Pioneer Courthouse Square. So today I just kind of wanted to start with a little bit of history because history about labor doesn't really happen very much anymore. And May Day is now about labor. Of course, it started a gazillion years ago, the Romans called it the Festival of Flora. The German Celtic folks were, or the German pagan folks, it was Walpurgis Night, which I just like the name, Walpurgis. I think I will continue to call it Walpurgis. We'll maybe have to start a new thing like Festivus. I don't know. If one of our listeners knows, please let me know how it got to be sort of a semi-religious holiday in the pagan sort of way and how it got to be International Workers' Day. Not that I have anything, there is anything wrong with that. I'm all for International Workers' Day. I just like history, and I like to know how something changes from one thing to another. But what ended up happening is that International Workers' Day is the commemoration of the 1886 Haymarket Affair in Chicago, when the police were trying to disperse a public assembly during a general strike for the 8-hour workday. Yes, people fought and died for the 8-hour workday. When an unidentified person threw a bomb at them, the police reacted by being, I guess, a circular firing squad firing out. And reliable witnesses testified that all the pistol flashes came from the center of the street where the police were standing and none from the crowd. Initial newspaper reports made no mention of firing by civilians. A telegraph pole at the scene was filled with bullet holes, all coming from the direction of the police. By 1889, the first Congress of the Second International, meeting in Paris for the centennial of the French Revolution, and the Exposition Universelle, following a proposal by Raymond Lavigne, which called for international demonstrations on the 1890 anniversary of the Chicago protests. And then at one point, it just got to be, it's a big deal in China and Russia. It was to show military hardware, which sort of got away from the people's part of it. But we're all trying to bring that back now. And Sarah had a couple things to say about what happened last year on May Day, just to recap while we're doing history.
Yeah, last year there were a couple of interesting things that happened. 36 people were arrested in an unorganized protest. There was also an organized protest where the police escorted people, and I guess that's part of what we're talking about today is the right to organize, and maybe if you don't get all these permissions, you might get arrested. And also part of that is that last year they put out a list of 20 ways to play hooky and join Occupy Portland on the streets, which had to do with if you're in a union, you can't join a general strike, which I'm sure our guest today can tell us more about. And there also was a reclaiming of a house, which our guest today took part of. And so maybe we can go ahead and start with that.
Yeah, let's recap last year, then we'll get into this year. What do you think, Kachimu?
Sounds good.
All right. So what there was a house. I know that you're very involved in the reclaiming of houses.
Right.
At this point. And what's that organization?
Well, there are a number of organizations that have worked in housing justice in Portland, but all those organizations have come together and formed one group that's called HIFE, or Housing is for Everyone. So that group encompasses all the previous groups. We are Oregon, Blazing Arrow Organization, Black Working Group. All those groups are participating in this particular organization, this new organization, HIFE.
Excellent. And any houses are we going to reclaim this year on May Day, or is that part of the plan at all?
We'll have to see. I think the housing justice movement, no empty houses, no more evictions. I mean, that's the message that we're spreading. We're doing quite a bit of work raising the consciousness of the community around those concepts. And from that, the sky's the limit.
Excellent. So what are the demonstrations, or what is planned for this May Day?
Well, the May Day Planning Committee is planning the main march and rally that's focused on downtown. It's at 9th and Stark. The assembly time is 2 p.m. on Wednesday, May 1st. This is what they call a quote-unquote permitted march, meaning that permits were purchased to have this march. And the reason for that, it's not because the planning committee recognizes or sees the need to validate the city's bureaucratic process. We stand up when we stand up. But the reason why the decision was made to do it that way is because we're actively encouraging undocumented community members to come out, and those folks have a lot more to lose if they're arrested than just people here. And a lot of people don't understand that, but it's easy for you not to understand if you don't have to face being deported if you're arrested. So in order to make it something that those folks feel comfortable, because we want them to be a part of it, that's the reason for the permit.
So also, do you have some backup legal help in case people are arrested?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's always that presence. I mean, I'll just say that. There's a presence there, a legal-minded presence. But what we intend to do, I think we want to flip the script this year. historically, when people go to marches and rallies, there's like this demand of the power structure. You know, we demand that this happen. We want jobs. We want housing. We want that. And what we're trying to do this year with the theme you read out, people over profit, no human being is illegal, join an organization working for justice. Instead of making that demand, we're having a call to action to the community. We're talking to the community. We're not talking to the power structure because, in my view, I don't see the point of making moral appeals to people that don't have consciences. So, you know, I want to appeal to the community, and we want people to get involved. We think that's the solution, is that everybody can make a contribution, and we want people to see the necessity to become an active part of the struggle for progress and forward movement.
I'm going to let that sit in for a minute because I think that's something that folks could chew on just a little bit. And if you have Mayday things that you're up to, if you would like to comment on anything, give us a call here. It is a call-in talk show, 503-231-8187. And our engineer Mike will put you through. So people over profit, what kind of concept is this?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's we know what that's saying is that, you know, we live in this is a capitalist society that, you know, it was built on the theft of land, the theft of labor, and that's how it was maintained. That's how it's developed. That's how the banking system developed here. That's the reason why I'm sitting here, you know, as an African in America, because of the triangular slave system that built the banking system in this society. That's the only reason why I'm sitting here speaking English right now. So, you know, that's how this society was formed. That's how it's maintained, through murder, through theft and violence, to keep all that going. And so, you know, we're saying that We that's not the kind of world we want to live in. You know, we want a world where people's needs are first, where we can, if people have illness, they can get medical treatment and they don't have to be concerned about having money to do that. If people need a place to stay, they can have that, whether they can afford it or not, where people can get an education, where students don't have to go thousands of dollars into debt to get an education so they can contribute to society. So that's what we mean when we say that.
So you were just in Salem, was it a rally about student debt? What was that?
Right.
We were talking about that. You want to let our listeners know about that?
Yeah, I mean, real quick, you know, there. I work for a union here that represents university workers, and they're in a contract campaign. And the issues that they're facing are very consistent with the issues the students in the university system are facing in terms of tuition equity and these institutional governing boards they're attempting to impose on the public university system here in Oregon. So the rally yesterday was to raise consciousness among students about student debt, where the average student has debt, they were saying, of $30,000 as opposed to about $9,000 just 20 years ago. So, you know, obviously this is a serious problem because, you know, you're seeing students paying a lot more to get a lot less.
Well, and who gets to go to school then?
Right.
And that seems just heinous to me because an educated public seems like something that would be a good thing.
Right. And that's, to be honest, it's kind of humorous to me in a sad kind of way because, you know, you look at people in this society and they'll look at a country like Cuba and they'll say, oh, they don't have freedom there, but yet they have free education. And so, you know, even if you could argue they don't have it today, which I would dispute, but even if you argued that, if you have free education, it's only a matter of time before that is going to be forced to change because what you're doing is you're educating your society. Whereas here you have a society where education is being privatized, like you said, less and less people are having access to it. That is the perfect formula to control a society.
What was it you said Phil Knight was commenting about?
Right. He had an interview article because he's one of the main forces, obviously, behind these institutional governing boards. And he had a main article, interview article, where he was talking about private education basically being dead, you know, basically not being something that's in the best interest of this society. And, you know, pretty much the analysis there is that if, you know, if you're not studying hard science or business or marketing, then there really isn't any reason to support you going to college. And, you know, of course, in my view, that's absolutely insane.
I don't want to live somewhere where there's no art.
Right.
I just find that as essential as breathing air. What do you think, listeners? Give us a call. This is Positively Revolting Talk Radio this morning. I am Lynn. I'm here with Sarah. And we have our guest, Ajumu Umi, who is a very well-versed activist. He is working on, he's here to talk about the International Workers' Day this year, People Over Profit. And we'd like to hear what you're all doing for May Day. What did you do last year? Is anybody part of what happened with the house reoccupation last year? That would be good. So,
yeah, I have a question. So you said earlier that you're making this kind of more aimed at the community, and you've kind of talked about the concepts that you want to bring to the community. What would you suggest the community do in response, or what do you hope their response is?
Well, yeah, exactly. That's great. I mean, what we're really trying to focus on is getting organizations out on Wednesday, having them table. So if you have an organization that's doing something positive for the community, this is your day to come out and table. We're going to pump you up all day at the rally and get people to try to direct people to that. So what people can do is sit down between now and Wednesday and think, you know, what kind of contribution can I make? I can give an hour a week to make this world a better place. So what organization can I become a part of that can allow me to use that hour so that I can make a contribution? And if there isn't an organization out there that fits my need, then I need to start the I have 1 hour a week organization and dedicate that hour to doing something to contribute to the community. So that's the kind of mindset that we're asking people to focus on for this May Day and to come prepared to participate in that way.
Excellent. Well, speaking of that, we have Anne on the line, who is from Solidarity Against Austerity. Anne?
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What say ye?
Okay. Solidarity Against Austerity is a group that is focusing right now on the city budget. There are massive cuts in line, and we'll be out on May Day asking people to work with us to confront the budget that says that we have to cut workers' jobs and services. And what we want to do is present an alternative that says there is revenue. We don't have a $21 million shortfall. There's money. The rich people have it. So we want to say tax the rich, stop giving money away to them, and create a job stimulus program, and there will be plenty of services and jobs for everyone. So anyways, we'll be out there on May 1st. I want to say thanks to Ajumu and the May Day Organizing Committee for their creative organizing, for focusing on getting us united and working for a city that works for us.
Excellent.
Excellent, yes.
Thank you, Anne.
And I just wanted to say, too, last year I was out at the May Day when we took back the house, and it was one of my favorite all-time days ever doing organizing. It was an amazing, unifying, uplifting day, and I want to thank Ajumu and the other people who organized that.
Thank you.
I must say I only saw it on live feed, but it looked like lots of fun.
Yeah. Can I just make a little pitch, too?
Oh, you bet.
May 16th, Solidarity Against Austerity, one thing that we're going to ask people to do is come out on May 16th to City Hall to speak out against the cuts in the budget. So I'm just making a little plug today, and we'll be doing that again on May 1st.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks for your work.
Yeah, I think Anne's doing a very good thing here. Maybe we should invite other organizations, since the point of May Day is to try to get involved with these organizations. If you can do a quick elevator speech here, like Anne just did, call in 503-231-8187 and tell us the organization that your community should get involved with.
Well, they're coming in. Heidi is up next. Heidi.
Hey there. Hey, I actually participated last year with Ajumu and have been out to a couple of events where he's been at. We helped reclaim Alicia's house. That was an amazing, awesome experience. And so I just wanted to say that there is a conference going on this weekend at PSU. I'm with Students United for Palestine Equal Rights. It's called Palestine Imperialism in the New Middle East. We've had an ad running on KBOO. The reason why I'm calling in is because the occupation of the Palestinian land is also important to Americans to understand how much money is going to the occupation that's taken away from our jobs and all of the infrastructure that's crumbling here in the United States. So I think it's a perfect time for people to get involved in something, whether it seems like it's far away, it directly impacts us because Israel receives millions upon millions of dollars and we don't get a vote on that. And so I think it's important to for people to understand locally how they can get involved and then get connected globally. And I think it's important to make that connection. So if folks, I'm going to try and be tabling on the May 1st event. I think it's important for people to make those connections and the intersectionality of all of these things that come together. We do, like I said, we have an ad running on KABU, but if folks want to come out, it's Saturday and Sunday. This coming Saturday and Sunday starting at 9. You just want, if you'll see the posters all over PSU, just go ahead and come on out. We're going to cover a variety of different issues. And I just want to thank Jamu for coming on KABU and just always doing excellent, awesome work. I love being in solidarity with him. So thank you very much.
You're very
welcome.
Thank
you.
So it looks like Jobs with Justice, VOZ, what is VOZ?
VOS. Yes.
VOS. SEU. Sorry, SEIU.
And
the, I know.
Yes.
And the Black Working Group are also endorsing this year's May Day.
Right. There are a number of other organizations as well that just haven't been added to the flyers. But yes, absolutely.
Is there a website or anything people can go on to see?
There's a Facebook page. If you type in May Day 2013, and you can get an updated list of all of the endorsers. We have Labor's Local 483 is also since that has signed on as an endorsing organization, Blazing Arrow organization. So there are a number of other ones as well as the ones you named, Black Working Group, SEIU, Local 503, VOS, Jobs with Justice. So, you know, it's a good cross-section of organizations. There's something for everybody there. So labor unions, community grassroots political organizations, organizations for people of color. There's something for everybody there.
I like that. So of all the things that you're doing right now, what's like your favorite organization? What are your project that is your most heartfelt right now?
Yeah, my most heartfelt project is working to create African organization here in Portland, or what people call Black or whatever you want to call it, independent organization here in Portland, and doing that as a part of building the All African People's Revolutionary Party here in Oregon, a chapter here, and that's a whole nother story. But to answer your question, I think there's the greatest need for that, and I think that's where I can make my greatest contribution. So I do that along with all the housing justice work and everything else that's going on.
Yeah, a number of people, I guess two of our callers and yourself, took part in the reclaiming of a house last year. Could you tell us just a little bit about what that process looks like? Because it sounds like it's very emotional, and I'm really curious.
Yeah, I mean, what happened is that at that time there was a group functional here called the Portland Liberation Organizing Committee, or PLOC, and then there's the Black Working Group, which I'm still a part of, and then We Are Oregon, which was a project funded by SEIU. And so what happened is that the Black Working Group was meeting, and around February of last year, Alicia started coming to the meetings. And we had done a massive outreach in the community, just posting up flyers saying, if you're Black and you're losing your house, contact us, we can help you. And so she responded. She came to the meeting and said she had moved out of her house in August of 2011. And so we had conversation about, were you willing to move back in? And she was very willing and enthusiastic to do that. And so those three organizations began to convene and plan to do this on May Day. We began to scout out her house. We drive by there. We saw over a period of time that there was nothing going on with her house. They were building on the property next door, which also belongs to her, but there was nothing happening at the house that she lived in. So we knew that it was a good opportunity to move forward with that. So we began to put the word out and put things in place. And so on May 1st of last year, there were several hundred people who showed up, and we marched over there, went into the house, and she's been there ever since. She's still there. We have a number of other houses we've helped reclaim since then, but May 1st will be a year that Alicia's been in the House. We're still fighting to do certain things. She still doesn't have water. We're still working to try to get that resolved. We're still fighting against some of the other forces, bank forces, that are trying to put pressure on her. We're going to be resolute. We're determined to help people stay in their homes. And one last thing I want to say about that, because, you know, I get a lot of anonymous mail and text messages. And, you know, I mean, if you're going to contact us, we'd love to talk to you. But people send things like, well, you're being duped. She refinanced the house. She didn't have a right to be in it. And it's like, if you're going to contact us, be honest enough to say who you are so we can respond to you and let you know, how off base you are. I mean, the bottom line is that people have always had refinance their houses. People have always refinanced their houses to buy boats, to buy RVs, to take vacations, to buy drugs, whatever they use the money for. This is not a new thing. People have always done that, but they always paid the money back. I mean, for those of you that advanced this economic system, that's how it works. The problem now is that people are defrauded. People are, because of other problems in the economy, they're finding themselves not in a position to pay that back. And that's a entirely different discussion. So, you know, don't talk to us about someone refinanced their house, so therefore they don't have a right to be in it. That's not the question. There are much bigger issues as to why this problem is happening. And we think everybody has a right to have a place to live, bottom line. And then, so that's what this movement is about.
Well, and hasn't there been some pretty shady dealings with people that try to work with the bank? Say they've refinanced their
Absolutely.
House and they're having problems, that they think they're working with the bank
Right.
and even paying on it, and then suddenly they're foreclosed upon.
Absolutely, and that's the part people are missing. I mean, foreclosure has become an entire industry in and of itself, and people don't understand that. There are companies operating in this foreclosure market. Companies like TriGuild International, that people never even heard of, that operate 30,000 feet in the air. And so, you know, we can inform you about what's going on. But, you know, if you're just looking at the bank and the person with the mortgage, you're not going to understand what's going on with the foreclosure industry right now.
Yeah, it's pretty complicated. The notes get sold and sold and
Right.
sold and sold. And debt in general is a huge industry in this country.
Absolutely.
It gets
Absolutely.
Sold and sold and sold. You'll never know who you're in debt to. Now, also, the Occupy folks are like, are they still staying in the house with Alicia so that it's never empty?
Yeah, I wouldn't care. I mean, we always hear that Occupy folks. I mean, these are folks who are in, or they were in organizations before Occupy started and are still in those organizations. And
yeah.
Some of them are.
I don't mean that as a
yeah.
bad thing.
No, I know, but people always, they want me to correct that, so
All
I
right.
feel an obligation to do that, because people,
then.
You know, people characterize. I always get that you're an Occupy person. It's like, I've been doing this long before Occupy.
Right.
So yeah, so that's good. But yeah, there are people from all different. I mean, we have people that come here from other cities to do home defense shifts. You know, so I mean, there are people that come from as far as Salem to do shifts here. You know, there's one lady that drives here from Salem and does a 3-hour shift and drives back on a regular basis. So, I mean, there's a lot of support for this. I mean, we need more people to do it, but there's a commitment to see this through. People understand why it needs to happen. No doubt about that.
Okay. We are, this is Positively Revolting. I am Lynn. I'm here with Sarah. We're at KBOO, and our guest this morning, Ajumu Umi, activist extraordinaire, obviously, is here talking with us about we started with International Workers' Day, and we are going into many other topics. One of them, we're just talking about home eviction, trying to keep people's homes for them. If you have questions about anything we're talking about, 503-231-8187, or what are your plans for May Day? What have you done in other May Days? What does it mean to you? 503-231-8187. And you can like us on Facebook. Please do like us on Facebook. And Sarah actually has us on the Twitters.
Yes, at Positive Revolt.
Yes, that is our hashtag. And or you can contact us also at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. But please do that.
Yeah, I think you're bringing up some really great points. I can see why you're good at this. and I think one of them is, earlier you said, sociology is not something that should, this is one of the stances that, sociology is not something that should be paid for by public education funds or whatever. But, and this gentleman you were saying this is his thought, the only hard sciences. But in sociology, because I am a sociology major, we talk about these trends, because you're saying homelessness being something that it's not just about one person and one bank. And a lot of these issues that we're bringing up today and activist movements in general, we tend to look at, it's a problem with that person.
Right.
That's what we see a lot of with marginalized societies, is that. And sometimes it tends to be, if you're a part of a marginalized society, you start feeling like it is a problem with you. And you don't even want to affiliate yourself with other people in that marginalized society, because you think it's a problem with me and it's a problem with that person. And you don't see that collectively you make up a large part of a population that is facing a problem. And I think you have many different things listed on here. I'm looking at the flyer for International Workers' Day, and you have cuts to public services, including education and social security, increasing poverty, homelessness, and ongoing attacks against people of color, immigrants, women, working families, students, and our rights to organize. Mm-hmm. Is there something you can speak to on, maybe behalf of how to get involved in these groups, or what to do maybe to feel more solidarity with your marginalized group? Because it seems like nowadays you're probably a part of one of these groups.
Yeah. Absolutely, and that's the whole
chances focus. Are good, I think.
Yeah, chances are real good and increasing more and more every day. And that's the reason why we wanted to take it the direction we're taking it this year, with the focus that it is. It's, because like you said, it is so true. I mean, I have a lot of conversations with people, and we are just so programmed to see things from the individual perspective. And people, when it deals with organization and any of those things, people only can perceive that, like when people have problems, people's only concept of solving them is individual. That's why you study sociology. People have problem with alcoholism, for example. Then they don't tell anybody. They try to resolve it on their own. And
rugged individualists here.
Right. And this is what we're trying to get people to understand. We can solve these problems much more effectively if we come together and work together to do them. So, a lot of times you're talking to people, using housing justice as an example, you talk to people and you talk to them about housing justice. A lot of people immediately, instead of listening to the problem and the solution to the problem, they start talking about, well, I pay mine. I pay my rent. I pay my mortgage. How come they can't pay theirs? Again, this individual. And it's like they're people will get upset immediately. And it's like, I tell people all the time, well, I just met you, so you can't be angry at me because I just met you. So you're probably angry at your situation. And so what you're telling me is that you're miserable, so why shouldn't everybody else be miserable? And what I'm telling you is that we don't think anybody should be miserable. So you shouldn't have to work three jobs to pay for a crummy house. We think everybody should have affordable housing. And there are ways we can do that. And I was speaking at PSU recently and talking like this, and one of the students in the class said, well, in your I don't know if she used the word fantasy or in your, like it's not happening. And I told her there are housing co-ops here in Portland. This is not
some
pipe dream. Yeah. I'm talking to you about solutions people are making to solve a problem. And, you're so imbued with this bourgeois outlook, you can't even hear the words coming out of my mouth and investigate it as a student to understand how this is something that's real that we can do. So we're just trying to agitate that one point, that we can solve these problems. We have the capacity as human beings to do it. We don't need any of these people who are working against our interests. We can do this if we come together. We have the strength to do it. And we can't do it individually. People can't go to court fighting eviction or foreclosure, and the problem is not going to be resolved with individual families doing it that way. It will only become resolve when we build a movement and we are determined to make it happen. And so that's the point we're trying to make to people. And whether you have 1 hour or 40 hours or your whole life to contribute, all of it matters, all of it makes a difference, and it all can help us make these bad things we're facing go away.
So what do you think of austerity?
Well, they're trying to privatize everything. Corporate, capitalist, multinational, corporate entities are trying to privatize everything. So what they're doing is they're imposing this vision on us that there's no money for anything that's worth. All the stuff you're talking about is worthwhile. It's important to have programs for youth. It's important to have community centers. It's important to have education, but we can't afford it. And there's plenty of money to afford those things. Those things should be the priority, not building weapons. 50% of this budget goes to military expenditures. And I've traveled all over the world, so I can tell you what those expenditures are. Building 100 military bases in Africa through AFRICOM. People here have no idea that that's going on or even what the point of that is. You know, and that's the kind of stuff you need to understand. That's where your money's going. You know, a lot of things that are happening that shouldn't be happening in the world, that's where your money is going. So there's plenty of money. It's just we are not organized to make the demand as to where it should go and prioritizing the things it should be used to prioritize.
Well, you know, and even in Portland, I look around and see all these ugly, okay, that's an opinion on my part, houses that are condos with storefront underneath them everywhere. A lot of them are empty. Especially, and I work in North Portland, there's just like tons right. of that going on. And also in Southeast, there seems to be money for that.
Well, yeah, in the city
but
of
not
Portland,
for,
right.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that's an important. People seem to be getting money for
right.
that.
You're right.
Instead of for things that, and yet we have no money for educating kids.
Right.
Or even, there was a show on Cable this week about how toxic some of the schools are. Just fixing up the actual building itself is toxic.
Well, the city of Portland spent about $90,000 on a committee for racial profiling. Now, I would bet nobody listening right now can call and say what concrete solutions that committee came up with regarding the issue of racial profiling. I could, for free, to give you an analysis on how to address racial profiling.
Could.
So, I mean, it's like that's where the money's going. They spent $250,000 on two evictions last year, you know, of one terminal cancer patient and another pulmonary patient. $250,000 just on those two evictions. Don't tell me there's no money. There's plenty of money. It's just the money is not prioritized to be used in the interests of people's needs. It's being used for things that don't serve society. And, you know, city workers are being threatened with layoffs that are performing vital services when all the money is being wasted on these other things we're talking about. So, you know, we need to understand that and come together to organize to get what we need instead of, you know, the chicken will never live long listening to the advice of the wolf. And that's what we do. We let the people that don't have our interests define for us how to view the world. And that's a bad road to take. And that's what we're trying to do with Mayday is change that, get people to say, no, we can take responsibility for the world we want and we can build it the way it needs to be built.
How do you feel about the concept these days about fear and it's for security?
You mean like?
Like not real security. But a lot of the money that's being spent now is security. I actually saw a brain meltdown. Homeland Security van going mm-hmm. down the streets of Portland. Like, really?
Well, I mean that's a hard argument to have with me. I mean, I grew up in the inner city. In housing projects, so I never knew security, so I don't even know what.
Well, it's an illusion.
Yeah,
it's an illusion, anyway.
Right? It's always
no
an
matter
illusion.
Where you are.
Yeah, and it's like you know, I've traveled all over the world. I've traveled all over the Middle East, you know, on my own in organizations, and I can tell people nobody is concerned about hurting you here. They do want to know why this government engages in all these policies that repress their people, and you seemingly don't. The perception is people here really don't seem to be that concerned about that. They do want to know that, but nobody. We'd have to have a hard conversation about where the real threats are. I think the thing that people need to be concerned about are the people that they're voting in the office and the people they're spending their money with. Those are the ones trying to hurt you, not the people, not some people overseas that are just trying to get through the day like you are.
Yeah, and since this rally is about the community, and I want to get back to the community again. And so you've done years and years. I mean, and you can maybe tell us that, how many years you've done of activist work. And you earlier, before we started the show, we were talking, and you said that you had learned more from your work as an activist than you did in the education system. Can you tell some people who maybe are beginning activists a little bit about that education and you know, empower us young activists?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, and everybody has to decide how they want to plug in. But for me, like I said, you know, when I was a young man, I was inspired by people like the late Kwame Ture, who was Stokely Carmichael. And so I joined his organization, the All-African People's Revolutionary Party, and that group has an independent study process that I've been involved in for 30 years now, where every 2 weeks we meet and we study what's going on in the world. So, you know, after participating in that process, obviously I've learned a lot about what's going on in the world. I've learned critical analysis tools as to how to break down things that happen in the world. I've also learned how to critically assess myself, which has allowed me to make myself a better person. And that's why, you know, if people, and I'm really thankful, if they call and say, hey, you're a wonderful person, you're doing good work, it's a result of that process. It's not me, the individual. It's a result of being in a process that's helped me hold myself accountable, that's helped me learn how to do that, helped me learn how to be honest and sincere, helped me learn how to put other people's interests in front of my own, and to think of myself as a servant to humanity, and to really learn how to be that disciplined person who knows how to do that and balance that, and also be a happy person who can make people laugh and have a good time, but be 100% focused and dedicated on this work that needs to be done. So, you know, people have to decide how they do that. I mean, I'm not saying you have to do it the way I did it. There are many different ways to do it, and we have the creativity to figure it out. But if you think that this system is going to give you the education you need to do those things, I think that that's naive, you know, especially with what's happening now with all the privatization. You know, the focus now is to corporatize you, make you totally focused on money, and you've got to have something else to balance that out. Otherwise, you're just going to become, you're going to grow older and become the kind of person that you hate right now.
Hearts and souls need nurturing too. Right. Yeah. So coming up this morning on KABU at 9 on Political Perspectives, Michelle Schroeder Fletcher interviews participants in two current projects of Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. The Particles on the Wall exhibit, which explores the impact of the Hanford Nuclear Reservation on the region, and the Greenfield Peace Writing Contest for Oregon High School students. At 10 o'clock here, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, an interview with Charlie Kerrigan of the National Labor Committee on the growing death toll in Bangladesh. Also, we'll hear from Kathy Kelly about her visit to the Bush Library. Oh, I bet that was fun. Opening celebration in Dallas and her upcoming trip to Afghanistan. At 11 on the Radio Zine, host Don Merrill speaks with local author and KABU volunteer Ren Green about her memoir, A Very Long Story About Karma That Will Probably Make You Cry, which chronicles her very interesting ride through many of the school systems in the Western Hemisphere as a child and as a parent. Once again, we want to thank you, KABU members, for your generous support. If you are not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. And do it. You'll feel better. You'll feel better with your whole weekend, I tell you. It's 8:46 in the morning. I am Lynn. I am here with Sarah. This is Positive Revolting on KABU, and we are talking and having a great time talking with Umi, about, I don't have
no
the
problem.
Pronunciation gene this morning, about his life, but also about International Workers' Day, and lots of stuff that is going on. Now, we're talking about education. If you all have a question, we're kind of running out of show, but we could take a couple of calls. The number is 503-231-8187. You can also ask us questions at positivelyrevolting at gmail.com. You can continue that. We can continue the conversation on our Facebook page, which is Positively Revolting, and the Twitter. Sarah makes us do the Twitter. Mm-hmm. So what's our hashtag again?
It's at Positive Revolt is our Twitter handle.
It's a handle. Okay. Yep. What's the difference between a handle and a hashtag?
Well, a hashtag is like something that it's like topical. It's how you could like maybe Google search for something or Twitter. You could search for on Twitter for it.
Okay.
But it.
I'm learning. I'm trying to learn this Twitter
I'm glad
thing.
Glad you cleared that up.
But the handle is, you know, the person or the organization doing the tweeting.
We like to have all kinds of education here on Positively Revolting. So are there other things that you wanted to discuss about what's going on May Day?
Yeah, I mean, there's going, again, 9th and Stark at 2 p.m. on Wednesday. There's going to be a short rally. There's going to be a few speakers and performers, just something to get people fired up and focused on the theme of the day. And then there's going to be a march through downtown. There's going to be some really interesting actions carried out by organizations participating. I know the We Are Oregon Anti-Foreclosure Committee Organizing Council is going to have a great surprise for people out there in regards to that work. I know local, the Laborers Union is going to be doing something interesting. There are some other groups doing things. So it'll be really interesting. And we encourage people to do that. We encourage organizations to come out and express whatever the issues you're working on, like groups like Solidarity Against Austerity and R2D2, whatever, all the groups that are out here engaged in some level of this work. If you want to express how you're doing that work through some street theater, whatever way you want to do it, it would be great to have that. So,
and lose your sense of isolation. Come on and lose your sense of isolation, because that is just so powerful. It's such a powerful manipulation by I want to call it the powers that be to isolate, to make people feel that they're isolated. And part of that, I'm just a big believer in blowing up your TV.
Yeah, big time.
That since I have stopped watching television, it has, you know, I like download The Daily Show or something, little teeny things. But screens, I think, are very addictive.
Yeah.
And we're all set with screens. But also just what comes out of that when I'm around a TV, how do you, it's like people are told over and over and over, and it's a 24/7 thing now.
Yeah, it's true. But we do want to just encourage people, like if people are not in any organization, don't feel like, oh, I'm not a part. This is for you. So, you know, if you come out and you're like, I'm not in an organization, there are going to be organizations showing you what they're doing, acting out what they're doing, presenting what they're doing. So this is definitely for you to come out and enjoy participating in this. So, you know, everything is structured specifically for you if you're not in an organization. So don't feel like if you're not in one that, you know, somehow it doesn't apply to you. It's exactly for you.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier there was a Facebook page. What was that again, the Facebook page?
I'm pretty sure if you type in May Day 2013, it should come up.
The Lord Google may have something to do with that there.
Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon, there's always that.
That helps.
That helps indeed, indeed, indeed. So I really would like to know how you started with Stokely Carmichael. People will know him better as that. How did that come about? When what made you make that turn?
Well, I mean, I just had grown up the way I grew up in inner city. It just was a totally different perspective to me. I, as a youth, I just didn't see myself as an American. I didn't see myself as a part. I just saw myself as here. And when he came through and he talked about the fact that we're really African people in America, we're wherever we are in the world, until Africa's free, we'll never be free. That just has resonated strongly with me as a very young man, and it still resonates equally as strong, if not more, today. And so that's just really framed my worldview and really just positioned my work for what I want to do. And then just along with that, working in solidarity with everyone else who's fighting for a just world. So it's enabled me to work with everybody while, you know, doing work to do what I think will improve my community and make us strong and able to contribute to the world going forward. So it, I mean, I have no regrets at all. I just want to do more.
And what, but what just sort of made you want to improve things instead of just go along and try to get more stuff?
Well, because coming out of the environment I came out of, I was able to see inequities quickly. I mean, I was beaten by police when I was 11 years old. And, you know, when you're 11 years old, you believe everything. You think everything's fair. And so I just couldn't understand why people wouldn't listen to me, why people were telling me I was guilty of something I wasn't guilty of. And I think I just decided then that's not right. And obviously, it's in order for it to change, I have to do something to change it because nobody else was doing anything. So I decided, I knew then that I needed to be the change agent that I wanted to see take place. So since that time, as I've grown and developed and got hooked up with people like him and other people like that, I've been very fortunate. I've had some great mentors, not only Kwame Ture, but I got a chance to go to Cuba and meet Assata Shakur, and then she pushed me towards Marilyn Buck, who was a political prisoner, who I became another one of my mentors. Bob Brown, who founded, who recruited Fred Hampton into the Illinois Black Panther Party. I mean, I've had a lot of good mentors. The late David Brothers, who founded the New York Black Panther chapter. Brother Kent Ford, who was founder of the Black Panther chapter here. I mean, I see them all as my mentors. And I've been fortunate enough for them to reinforce that message, and I listen. I've always listened. I will continue to listen and continue to do that.
Mentoring is really important, don't you think?
It is.
Missing that is missing a huge chunk of any sort of growth that people have, but we need that.
Yes.
Does that seem very missing?
It is, and that's why even though my time is stretched, I still do it. I have a young 18-year-old, a young brother here that I mentor, spend a lot of time with. You know, he comes to political events. I explain to him why he participates. We have to do that. We have to, you know, people are like afraid of young people now, and that's part of the plan, to separate the head from the body. We can't be afraid of our young people. We've got to go and get them and point them in the right direction.
I remember hearing an old white guy, Robert Bly, said, if you are not appreciating a young person, you're doing them harm.
Absolutely.
And I try to remember that when I think they're obnoxious.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And if they are obnoxious, it's our fault.
Oh, you know? Yeah, that's
so
true.
So that's how I look at it. I go to Lloyd Center and talk to them. I mean, you know, that we have to do that. We have to give them what they need.
Yeah, I think that you're bringing up some good points. I know I would like I've had some mentors, and I always feel that whatever, and maybe you feel this way too, but whenever I'm teaching someone something, I always feel like it kind of reinstates that thing in myself.
Right.
And I also, it makes me kind of make that, whatever that feeling I have, kind of more concise too. If I'm like, oh, I should be listening to what I'm saying too.
Yeah. That's always a good idea. Very good idea. I just want to, in case folks weren't listening to the beginning of the program, let folks know that there is a protest against drone attacks today, sponsored by Head, Heart, Hands, and Spirit, who are members of Code Pink Portland. Today at noon in the Pioneer Courthouse Square, it's going to be Educate, Activate Against Unlawful Drone Deaths. It's a complicated meet, apparently. Meet on the east side of the square, Southwest 6th, at milepost marker midway north-south between Southwest Morrison and Yamhill. Like I said before, they'll probably have pink on, so you will know these women. That's today at noon, Friday, April 26th, at Pioneer Courthouse Square. And anything you want to wrap up with, Ajumu?
Well, just again, you know, that's a great example of where the money's going, where it shouldn't be going, you know, buying drones to kill people. You know, and this is, again, you can't just complain about the problem. You have to be involved, or else you really have no right to complain, because you're a part of the problem if you're not participating to make it go away. So everybody has a contribution to make. Everybody has a skill that can contribute. So we just want to ask people to think about that as we approach May Day. Join an organization working for justice. Get involved. You are needed. You are wanted. You are needed. You are appreciated. And we just really want to encourage people to think seriously about that.
All right. Thank you, Ajumu Umi. Sarah Sneath will be here for the next couple of weeks because Ani and I are going to be in Mexico. But don't worry, people. Usually when I leave to go to a warm climate, the weather here turns really nice. So I may be doing that for you. This has been Positively Revolting. Thank you so much for tuning in to KBOO and our show. And Sarah, we'll be back with something really exciting next week. I just know it. Okay. Thanks, folks.
Mexico.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
Board elections 2013. KBOO members, do you have talents in fundraising, development, or new media? Are you excited about the possibilities for KBOO's future?
Are you an active member? Then here's your chance to bring your know-how to the KBOO Foundation Board of Directors.
Applications are now being accepted until June 28th, with candidate training on June 30th. To apply, go to kboo.fm/board elections. Or email kbooelections@gmail.com.
SolarEnergy.org and KBOO Community Radio will sponsor the 2013 Solar Winery Tour, Saturday, April 27th, featuring three of Oregon's solar-powered wineries. This day-long event includes transportation to and from the Portland area, plus wine tasting, lunch, and solar education tours. More information, including tickets and transportation pickup locations, can be found at www.solarenergy.org or online at the KBOO Community Events page.
Co-sponsor Palestine, Imperialism, and the New Middle East, the Arab Spring 2 years on, a two-day conference at Portland State organized by Students United for Palestinian Equal Rights, held on April 27th and 28th. Speakers include Nadia Elia, professor of gender and global studies at Antioch University, Ahmed Maher, co-founder of Egypt's revolutionary April 6th youth movement, Remy Kanazi, Palestinian-American poet and activist, Cindy Corey, parent of ISM activist Rachel Corey, and Aaron Dixon, founder of Seattle's chapter of the Black Panther Party. The conference is located at Smith Memorial Student Union, and registration begins at 9 a.m. each day. Child care and food provided. More information can be found on Facebook at Students United for Palestinian Equal Rights. Click on Events.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is approximately 9.02 a.m. Coming up this morning on KBOO on Political Perspectives, Michelle Schroeder-Fletcher interviews participants in two current projects of Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, the Particles on the Wall exhibit, which explores the impact of the Hanford Nuclear Reservation on the region, and the Greenfield Peace Writing Contest for Oregon high school students. At 10, hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, an interview with Charlie Kernaghan of the National Labor Committee on the growing death toll in Bangladesh. Also, we'll hear from Kathy Kelly about her visit to the Bush Library opening celebration in Dallas and her upcoming trip to Afghanistan. And at 11 on the Radio Zine, host Don Merrill speaks with local author and KBOO volunteer Ren Green about her memoir, A Very Long Story About Karma That Will Probably Make Me Cry, which chronicles her very interesting ride through many of the school systems in the Western Hemisphere as a child and as a parent. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a KBOO member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
Again, welcome to KBOO, both listeners and our many guests that are in studio. We're going to have a full house with three of us in the studio and multiple phone guests to join us. They've all come together as participants in a wonderful multidisciplinary exhibit with a great kickoff event opening reception called Particles on the Wall, hosted at the EcoTrust Building Friday, May 3rd from 6 till 8 p.m. It's put on by the Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibilities. Now, I know that that's a lot to remember so far, so be assured that we will give you that important information often through the next hour. But first, let's say hi to our guests, and we can talk about all of the moving parts of this exhibit next. So first we have Maxine Fuchsum, who's a pediatric nurse practitioner, a member of Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility Peace Work Group, involved for many years in issues related to child health and peace and justice. You are an organizer of the Particles on the Wall exhibit in Portland, and you were a judge for this year's peace writing contest.
That's right. This has been just an exciting time for Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, Oregon PSR, who is sponsoring this exhibit that's coming to Portland, as you mentioned, with our opening reception May 3rd. And the exhibit's running at the EcoTrust Building through